Crab blundered forwards, his long arms outstretched like a zombie. Harry dodged around him, picked up a stick, and lobbed it at Crab's back. Harry doubled up with silent laughter, as Crab did a kind of pirouette in mid-air, trying to see who had thrown it. As Ron was the only person Crab could see, it was Ron he started towards. But Harry stuck out his leg. Crab stumbled, and his huge flat foot caught the hem of Harry's cloak. Harry felt a great tug, then the cloak slid off his face. For a split second, Malfoy stared at him.
"Ah!"
he yelled, pointing at Harry's head. Then he turned tail and ran, at breakneck speed, back down the hill, Crab and Goyle behind him. Harry tugged the cloak up again, but the damage was done.
"Harry!" Ron said, stumbling forward and staring hopelessly at the point where Harry had disappeared. "You'd better run for it. If Malfoy tells anyone, you'd better get back to the castle, quick."
"See you later," said Harry, and without another word he tore back down the path towards Hogsmeade. Would Malfoy believe what he had seen? Would anyone believe Malfoy? Nobody knew about the invisibility cloak. Nobody except Dumbledore. Harry's stomach turned over. Dumbledore would know exactly what had happened if Malfoy said anything. Back into Honeydukes, back down the cellar steps, across the stone floor, through the trap door, Harry pulled off the cloak, tucked it under his arm, and ran flat out along the passage. Malfoy would get back first. How long would it take him to find a teacher? Panting, a sharp pain in his side, Harry didn't slow down until he reached the stone slide. He would have to leave the cloak where it was. It was too much of a giveaway if Malfoy had tipped off a teacher. He hid it in a shadowy corner, then started to climb, fast as he could, his sweaty hands slipping on the sides of the chute. He reached the inside of the witch's hump, tapped it with his wand, stuck his head through, and hoisted himself out. The hump closed, and just as Harry jumped out from behind the statue, he heard quick footsteps approaching. It was Snape. He approached Harry at a swift walk, his black robes swishing, then stopped in front of him. "So," he said. There was a look of suppressed triumph about him. Harry tried to look innocent, all too aware of his sweaty face and his muddy hands, which he quickly hid in his pockets. "Come with me, Potter," said Snape. Harry followed him downstairs, trying to wipe his hands clean on the inside of his robes without Snape noticing. They walked down the stairs to the dungeons, and then into Snape's office. Harry had only been in here once before, and he had been in very serious trouble then, too. Snape had acquired a few more horrible, slimy things in jars since last time, all standing on shelves behind his desk, glinting in the firelight and adding to the threatening atmosphere. "Sit," said Snape. Harry sat. Snape, however, remained standing. "Mr. Malfoy has just been to see me with a strange story, Potter," said Snape. Harry didn't say anything. "He tells me that he was up by the Shrieking Shack when he ran into Weasley, apparently alone." Still Harry didn't speak. "Mr. Malfoy states that he was standing talking to Weasley when a large amount of mud hit him in the back of the head. How do you think that could have happened?" Harry tried to look mildly surprised. "I don't know, Professor." Snape's eyes were boring into Harry's. It was exactly like trying to stare out a hippogriff. Harry tried hard not to blink. "Mr. Malfoy then saw an extraordinary apparition. Can you imagine what it might have been, Potter?"
"No,"
said Harry, now trying to sound innocently curious. "It was your head, Potter, floating in mid-air." There was a long silence.
"Maybe he'd better go to Madame Pumphrey," said Harry,
"if he's seen things like—" "What would your head have been doing in Hogsmeade, Potter?" said Snape softly. "Your head is not allowed in Hogsmeade. No part of your body has permission to be in Hogsmeade."
"I know that," said Harry, striving to keep his face free of guilt or fear. "It sounds like Malfoy's having hallucin—"
"Malfoy is not having hallucinations," snarled Snape, and he bent down, a hand on each arm of Harry's chair, so that their faces were a foot apart. "If your head was in Hogsmeade, so was the rest of you." "I've been up in Gryffindor Tower," said Harry. "Like you told—"
"Can anyone confirm that?"
Harry didn't say anything. Snape's thin mouth curled into a horrible smile. "So," he said, straightening up again, "everyone from the Minister for Magic downwards has been trying to keep famous Harry Potter safe from Sirius Black. But famous Harry Potter is a law unto himself. Let the ordinary people worry about his safety. Famous Harry Potter goes where he wants to, with no thought for the consequences."
Harry stayed silent. Snape was trying to provoke him into telling the truth. He wasn't going to do it. Snape had no proof yet.
"How extraordinarily like your father you are, Potter," Snape said suddenly, his eyes glinting. "He, too, was exceedingly arrogant. A small amount of talent on the Quidditch pitch made him think he was a cut above the rest of us, too, strutting around the place with his friends and admirers. The resemblance between you is uncanny."
"My dad didn't strut," said Harry, before he could stop himself, "and nor do I."
"Your father didn't set much store by rules either," Snape went on, pressing his advantage, his thin face full of malice. "Rules were for lesser mortals, not Quidditch Cup winners. His head was so swollen—"
"Shut up!" Harry was suddenly on his feet. Rage, such as he had not felt since his last night in Privet Drive, was thundering through him. He didn't care that Snape's face had gone rigid, the black eyes flashing dangerously.
"What did you say to me, Potter?"
"I told you to shut up about my dad," Harry yelled. "I know the truth, all right? He saved your life. Dumbledore told me. You wouldn't even be here if it weren't for my dad."
Snape's sallow skin had gone the colour of sour milk.
"And did the headmaster tell you the circumstances in which your father saved my life?" he whispered. "Or did he consider the details too unpleasant for precious Potter's delicate ears?"
Harry bit his lip. He didn't know what had happened, and didn't want to admit it, but Snape seemed to have guessed the truth.
"I would hate you to run away with a false idea of your father, Potter," he said, a terrible grin twisting his face.
"Have you been imagining some act of glorious heroism? Then let me correct you. Your saintly father and his friends played a highly amusing joke on me that would have resulted in my death if your father hadn't got cold feet at the last moment. There was nothing brave about what he did. He was saving his own skin as much as mine. Had their joke succeeded, he would have been expelled from Hogwarts."
Snape's uneven, yellowish teeth were bared.
"Turn out your pockets, Potter," he spat suddenly.
Harry didn't move. There was a pounding in his ears.
"Turn out your pockets, or we go straight to the headmaster. Pull them out, Potter!"
Cold with dread, Harry slowly pulled out the bag of Zonko's tricks and the Marauder's map. Snape picked up the Zonko's bag.
"Ron gave them to me," said Harry, praying he'd get a chance to tip Ron off before Snape saw him. "He brought them back from Hogsmeade last time."
"Indeed? And you've been carrying them round ever since? How very touching. And what is this?"